reading Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, speaking of Jesus. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 21st, 2015. We're going to continue with the second installment with the topic, What About the Church?, presented by Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, in just a minute. And I read that verse to lay the groundwork of the unity that God desires as we grow in the church, the local gathering place of the people of God who are the church, who are that royal priesthood, that holy nation, a people belonging to God. And that's just a great verse to lay the groundwork of today and yesterday's topic. And both days of this presentation are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But first, a quick shout out. Great job, singing men, last night as we're preparing to sing this Saturday at the VA hospital in Danville to the veterans and their families. So I'd ask for your prayers as the men minister through song and testimony in Danville at the VA hospital this Saturday. Also, there's been a change of venue. Ivan Parker is still coming to town, and the singing men will be backing him up with a few songs and I think opening up the evening. So it's still happening on Saturday, June 13th at 7 p.m., but we have a new and improved location. It's going to be held at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy to accommodate more people, an easier location to get to, convenient parking, and the acoustics are much better in the First Baptist Church of Champaign sanctuary than at the Parkland College Theater. And what we're going to do, rather than having tickets that we'd have to mail out or you'd buy at the door, and because this is being held at the church, here's how we're going to have to do it. We'll strongly suggest a $10 donation for open seating. And for those of you that want to be in the artist circle, reserve seating up front with a possible meet and greet with Ivan Parker. We're suggesting $25 per person as your donation. And so for the special reserve seating up front and the possible meet and greet with Ivan Parker, we'd need you to call in so we can reserve a special section that would accommodate those that will be donating $25. And so just call the station at 217-367-7777, and we'll get your name down, and we'll have more details and information in the coming days. We'll actually be calling Ivan Parker today and finalizing some of the arrangements for his presentation on Saturday night, June 13th at 7 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. Well, yesterday I spent 5 hours out at the radio tower. In fact, I was there for about 8 hours, but I met up with Sean, who's a great engineer, and he installed some equipment, trained me on some things, and so I thank God for those that have the great expertise to do wiring, equipment setup and hookup. And so if you heard a couple different tests yesterday between the hours of 10:30 and about 3:30, that was Sean and I working together on our air chain, as they call it. And thank you, God, for our 2020 challenge, as some of you are responding to that already. We're now in our 20th year of broadcasting the good news message of Jesus, and the 2020 challenge is encouraging you to get involved and consider donating $20 for the next 20 months of this, our 20th year of educating, edifying, and evangelizing all who tune in and attend our radio events. So the 2020 challenge has been launched, and we'd love your participation, as we are 100% listener-supported, and we don't have share-a-thons, haven't had a fundraising banquet in many years, so we just trust on God providing through you. And if you'd like to be a part of the 2020 Challenge, write us today at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Well, today's installment, the topic being What About the Church?, began yesterday with Nikki Gumbel talking about why he loves the church, the people that make up the church, and how you become family and the family of God. Today he'll address the church helps people to see Jesus, you can experience God in a special way, and that Jesus loves the church, it's his bride. Today's broadcast will be the 11th week we've committed Monday and Tuesday editions of Mark and Friends to various topics as we've walked through much of the Alpha course together. And so there may be one or two more weeks to go. We'll see. I have to go through the material and preview it all. But before I begin, I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment of an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast, heard on Great News Radio, is produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Here's Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, presenting on the topic, What About the Church?
That's the second reason I love the church. It's a family. It's the family of God. Third reason I love the church is the church is the way in which people see Jesus today. It's the body of Christ. Would you like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27? St. Paul says this. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. As John Calvin, the great reformer, 16th century reformer, put it, he calls the church Christ. Bishop Leslie Newbegin said this. He said, Jesus Christ never wrote a book. What he did was leave behind a community, the church. And what St. Paul is saying is here is you are the church. And you are Christ to the world. So each of you represents Jesus wherever you go. In your family, in your place of work, in your neighborhood, in your leisure activities, you're Christ. The American pastor, John Wimber, told us many years ago. John Wimber's no longer alive, but he told us this story, and I've never forgotten it. He told us this story about how he was standing in church one time, and a man came up to him and told him how he'd been contacted by somebody in great need. And he talked about his frustration in trying to get help for this needy person. He said the man needed a place to stay, food, support, until he gets on his feet and looks for a job. He said, I'm really frustrated. I tried calling the church office, but no one could see me and they couldn't help me. I finally ended up having to let him stay with me for the week. Don't you think the church should take care of people like this? John Wimber said, I thought for a moment and said, it looks like the church did. Because you're the church. Every time you feed the hungry, that's the church doing it. Every time you visit the sick or visit someone in prison, that's the church. And Paul develops this analogy of the unity of the body of Christ, but also that the unity does not involve uniformity. Look at this room. There's huge diversity within this room. Each person here is unique and beautifully made. And you have a unique contribution to make to the body of Christ. So my encouragement to you would be to get involved. Don't just be a kind of consumer. Be a contributor. Don't just be an attender at church. Be a member. And then there's a kind of mutual dependence. He says, the eye can't say to the hand, oh, well, I don't need you. So what he's saying is the church needs you. And you need everybody else. You need the church. And together, if everybody's playing their part, then there's something really beautiful, like an orchestra where everybody's performing. And I think this is true globally as well. Rather than saying about other parts of the church, oh, well, they're not us. You know, we're Anglicans and they're whatever. So what's wrong with them? We can say, oh, they're a different part of this body around the world. I wonder what we could learn from them. I wonder how we could be enriched by their tradition. That's the third reason I love the church. It's the body of Christ. Fourth reason I love the church. It's where we experience the presence of God in a special way. The church is a holy temple. I heard about a little boy called Tommy, who was a very naughty little boy. And his mother despaired of him, and she tried everything, and eventually thought, I know what I'll do. I'll take him down to see the vicar. That will sort him out. So she took young Tommy down to see the vicar. The vicar was quite an austere man. He had a great big leather desk, and he sat down Tommy opposite, and he thought, well, I'll find out how much this little boy knows about God. So he said, Tommy, where is God? And the little boy, sort of nervous, and so he said again, Tommy, where is God? And he looked even more nervous. So he said, Tommy, where is God? Suddenly the boy was so terrified, he got up, and he ran out of the vicar's study, out of his house, and he ran. The mother thought, this is amazing. She said, this has done it. This has really sorted him out. And the boy ran in through the front door, and he saw his father sitting there. He said, Dad, they've lost God down at the church. And now they're trying to blame me for that. Where is God? What was the right answer? Would you like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19? Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The New Testament answer is God lives in you. That's where he is. The only building that the New Testament knows about or speaks about is a building made up of people. The only church building mentioned in the New Testament is one made of living stones. And that's where God is. God's presence is. There's a longing for God in every human heart. Whether people admit it or acknowledge or recognize it or not, there's a longing for God. St. Augustine said this, you have made us, speaking to God, he says, you have made us for yourself. And our hearts find no peace until they rest in you. So the presence of God. Professor Gordon Fee says that the word presence is a delicious word. If you love someone, what you want more than anything else is that person's presence. Photos, great. Telephone call, fantastic. Letters, great. But what you really long for is their presence. And that's what Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They lost that sense of the presence of God. And as you look at the people of Israel, what distinguished the people of Israel in the Old Testament was not the law so much as the presence of God with them. That's why the temple meant so much to them. They didn't associate the temple so much with sacrifices, they associated it with the presence of God. And when the people of God were in exile, what they missed more than anything was the presence of God, the temple. And what happened on the day of Pentecost was God's Spirit, God's presence was poured out on all people. The New Testament speaks of you individually. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But more often it speaks corporately of a gathering of Christians. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's something amazing when we come together. And people know, sometimes people walk into a gathering of Christians and they say, wow, there's an amazing atmosphere here. They can't quite put their finger on what it is, but they're experiencing the presence of God. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. That's another reason. I love the church. Fifth reason I love the church is because Jesus loves the church. It's his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. Would you like to turn just over the page? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. St. Paul says this: "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." And then he goes on to talk about the marriage relationship. But then in verse 32, he says this: "This is a profound mystery." But he says, "It looked like I was talking about marriage." Actually, he says, "But I'm talking about Christ and the church." And this really sums up everything we've been looking at on the Alpha Course. Because at the heart of Christianity is love. The New Testament tries to use analogies of the closest possible relationship, parent-child. Here it says actually that perhaps the best analogy for this is the love between a husband and a wife. That intimate love. And that is the love that Jesus has for you. St. Augustine said that God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. And if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. That's how much he loves you. He laid down his life for the church. I don't know about you, but I look at myself and I think, I'm not as I really long to be. I long to be different. And Jesus died so that we could become the person that deep down we long to be. And the picture here is of being the bride of Christ. I love my job. I love being a vicar. It's an amazing job. But one of the things I love most is taking weddings. Those doors at the back are closed. And the bride arrives at 2:32. She wants to be late, but not too late. And the doors there are closed. And then I come and stand out here. The bride is at the back. The pages, bridesmaids are all around. Bridegrooms sitting here at the front. Bride has spent all day making herself look absolutely beautiful. Bridegrooms probably spent all day, but it doesn't look so obvious. we train the bridegrooms beforehand. We say that there are three options that you can have. You can either, as the doors open, you can turn round. He's standing there and you can just turn round and welcome the bride as she comes down the aisle. Or you can stand to attention and wait until she's level. What you mustn't do is just kind of look over your shoulder, because that looked very untidy, just kind of looking like that. Nearly always they choose to turn round rather than stand to attention until she's level with them. I only had one army officer who decided he's standing in. But the moment happens and the music starts, the doors open, and the bride walks down the aisle. And at that moment, I usually start crying, actually. even if I'm taking the wedding, sometimes I start crying. But it's such an amazing moment, because she walks down, a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Revelation 21, verse 2. "I saw the holy city," this is a picture of the church, "the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." So is it possible to be a Christian and not go to church? The answer is, we don't go to church. You are the church. I think I've mentioned before, Jackie Pullinger runs a place in Hong Kong. She works with, particularly with heroin addicts and with prostitutes. And she told us once about a 72-year-old woman called Alfreda. And Alfreda had been a heroin addict for 60 years. And she'd been a prostitute for 60 years, or involved in the prostitution business for 60 years. But she was too old, obviously, to work, and she used to sit outside a brothel and just poke the sewers in this very run-down area with a stick to keep them moving freely. And she'd inject her back three times a day with heroin. because her legs and her arms, they'd been overused. She had no identity card, and as far as the Hong Kong government was concerned, she didn't even exist. But a few years ago, she gave her life to Christ, and she received forgiveness. She began to change, and she went to live in one of Jackie's houses. And to begin with, she was quite difficult, but then God started to heal her. And she saw that there were people who were worse off than her, and she began to try and help them, and she changed. And then Jackie told us she met a man called Little Wah, who was age 75, and they got married. And Jackie described her wedding as the wedding of the decade. Because this former prostitute, heroin addict, walked down the aisle in white, cleansed, forgiven, transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is a picture of the church. There's only one way into the church, and that's to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the moment we say that, God in his love says, you are part of my people. You're my family. You're my representative. You're my body on earth. You're a holy temple. My spirit lives within you. You're my bride. May we pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing privilege of being part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much that you make us part of the people of God, that you accept us as your family, sons and daughters of God, that you allow us to be your body on earth so that people see Jesus through us. Thank you that you make your presence known as we gather together particularly. And thank you that you love us so much that you call us your bride. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh, listening friend, realize you are the church. You are the hands and feet and the heart and the love that God can work through to touch lives. And I certainly hope you're a part of a body of believers gathering each and every week to praise God, to encourage one another, to share your gifts, to be plugged into a group that wants to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be effective ambassadors for a hurting world, forgiven and transformed by the love of Christ. What a great high priest we serve. And if you've not entered into that faith journey following the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM, and these folks will answer all your questions about the Christian faith, how to have a relationship with God, and why it's important to meet with other believers each and every week. That number again is 1-888-NEED-HIM. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast with Nikki Gumbel dealing on What is the Church, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Before I close out, I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast heard on Great News Radio was produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.